Three Stories You Should Know is our weekly feature that allows two well-informed journalists and one radio host the opportunity to each offer a story of the week. But on this first weekend of 2016, we're looking back on the stories of the past year that will have the greatest impact on the year to come. My guests this week are Pat Forty, national columnist for Yahoo Sports, and Shira Springer of the Boston Globe. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Shira, as one of this week's big stories involves human growth hormone that may or may not have been shipped to the home of NFL quarterback Peyton Manning, it seems fitting that your big story of 2015 involves doping, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yes, I want to go back to November 9th, 2015. That was the day the world got its first look at a report on the widespread doping by Russian athletes. The report detailed systematic state-sponsored doping, brought to mind East Germany of the 1970s and 80s. Russian track and field athletes are in limbo as to whether or not they can compete in the 2016 Rio Olympics. But it's more than that, because I think the report set a standard for how anti-doping crusaders can and will investigate drug-related cheating in the future.
Pat, I can't resist. I realize this is an oversimplification of a complex issue, but are you shocked, shocked?
Well, yes, the systematic nature of it, I was shocked by that. I think there's very good reason to have suspicion about the rest of Russia's sports and whether they will be clean when you get to Rio de Janeiro. In Olympic year, which tends to be the one time people talk about PEDs significantly, it'll be a very hot-button topic heading to Rio.
The whole idea of one of the top contenders for Olympic medals being banned from the Olympics is absolutely enormous. And were that to actually happen, this would be the biggest story of 2016. So well-picked. Nice
job. Yeah, I think the other big part of this story will be, what are international sports leaders going to do about this? Because clearly what they have been doing hasn't been working.
Okay, Pat, your story is up next. And I have to say that I'm a little bit irritated because it would have been my story if you hadn't gotten there first for most impactful story of 2015. But go ahead. You got there first.
I'm sorry to scoop you, Bill, but it is a story that certainly hits close to home for me. And it happened around the same time as Shira's story in early November, when at the University of Missouri, where I was a student, where my son is now a student athlete, there had been protests and concerns from African-American students about racially charged comments that had been made to them. An African-American student group asked the football team to get involved, and the football team responded by saying, "We will. We will boycott our game against BYU, and we will not play another game until the school president steps down." And the result was shockingly quick. Mm-hmm. President Wolf was out within 48 hours. And I think all of a sudden people got a real glimpse of the power that could be had by student athletes, specifically football and basketball players who are the revenue producers on campus. Will there be more instances like this of athletes flexing their muscles? Will the courts finally put more money in the pockets of these athletes? There are a couple major lawsuits against the NCAA. So I want to see if 2016 is the year college athletes finally become rich and powerful.
It'll be fascinating to see if one result of this is more money in their pockets and a real change in the entire system of NCAA athletics.
Yeah, I think in order for real change to happen at the NCAA level, it can't be just one team at one school, but you're going to have almost a nationwide movement. So you've got to have athletes from Oregon, Texas, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State. You know, if you want to have NCAA-wide change, particularly around the issue of pay for athletes, it's got to be a nationwide movement among athletes.
Okay, Pat, you've heard some discussion on this. What do you think? A real possibility?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think we've seen some baby steps in that direction. You know, Northwestern tried to unionize. National Labor Relations Board shot it down, but it was a major step, and it scared the bejesus out of athletic directors everywhere. What athletes need to get over is, I think, the fear that if we do this, we lose our scholarships.
And I think there's another fear there, too, not only the loss of scholarship, but endangering future employment opportunities. Because let's be honest, these college athletes, they're looking for jobs in the pro leagues. And you don't want a general manager or an owner saying, "Listen, we don't want this troublemaker on our team."
No doubt. I think that we'll watch the NFL draft and see if any Missouri players who were expected to go in the second round go in the fifth round or something like that.
As it is with all unions, you know, solidarity is all. If it's a couple of people out there, they can be picked off. But if enough people join, hey, the NFL's got to have players.
Yep.
Yeah.
My story of the year is my candidate for movie of the year, and I'm not talking about Star Wars, which I have yet to see. The lines were too long. But maybe the movie starring Will Smith, Concussion, will kick the discussion about brain damage among NFL players into a higher gear. The book, the documentary titled League of Denial, made some news, as did the NFL's payment of hundreds of millions of dollars to settle thousands of lawsuits. But who is ready at this point to say pro football is any less popular than it was before Dr. Omalu's work became public? It'll be fascinating to me to see whether a scientist represented by the taller and more handsome Will Smith educates and outrages people who've previously missed, denied, or underrated the significance of this story. And I know that the box office receipts haven't been too great, but I'm still hoping. What do you think, Pat?
Oh, I think absolutely there could be a ripple effect from this. I mean, I think we're already seeing it. I hear a lot of anecdotal evidence about, you know, youth football participation numbers being down. And if that, you know, becomes a legitimate trend, then the sport gets into a real danger zone.
Talk about box office numbers. Concussion was the number 7 movie over the Christmas weekend box office. And that's, I hate to tell you, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip, was number 5.
Ooh.
So,
heard that was a good one.
Did you? Okay, because I've missed that one. So, I mean, when you've got sort of numbers like that, I don't think it's going to have quite the popular culture push that people who have, like us, who have been following this issue for a long time hope it will have. But I do think real doctors, and by this I mean not actors playing doctors, but real doctors advising parents not to have their kids play after a concussion or two, or to not have their kids play football at all, will have a greater impact long term. But this is going to be not a years long process, but decades.
My guests for 3 stories you should know, the Looking Back at 2015 edition of Same, have been Shira Springer of the Boston Globe and Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports. Thank you, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. My pleasure.